First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Like to get you started with some headlines that you need to know. I'm having a day. Headline number one is that apparently I can't speak or read, which is good when you do professional radio. Okay, the Titans' Derrick Henry has signed a $10.2 million franchise tender. So he has signed that franchise tender, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter and Diana Rossini. The two sides are still committed to working on a long-term deal before the July 15th deadline for franchise players to sign extensions. On Wednesday, Titans GM John Robinson said his team hoped to sign Henry to a long-term contract. If you talk to people that cover the team frequently, it doesn't feel like this is something that's not going to happen. Derrick Henry and the Titans are going to figure out a way to get this done, but they take the big first step towards doing it. The next headline, Michigan State. Back in the news for wrong reasons, Michigan State basketball coach Tom Izzo and two assistant coaches contacted a witness in a 2017 investigation of criminal sexual contact involving a basketball player. This is important. Before the witness had discussed the incident with police or school investigators, that's records newly obtained by ESPN. So we'll see what it means moving forward, but investigations continue as we continue to look at what the fallout will be for that. And then lastly, on the headlines that you need to know, Alden Smith, back in the NFL. Alden Smith signs a one-year deal with the Cowboys. He hasn't played since 2015, but at this point, it looks like Alden Smith will be back with the Cowboys. Remember, he has not been reinstated yet, but he has applied for reinstatement. So at this point, 30 years old, he signed a contract with the Cowboys, one-year, $4 million deal. We'll see what the league does with that moving forward. Those are your headlines. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're asking you guys, with all the Antonio Brown talk, who's going to sign him? Anybody? If somebody does, who? You can tweet me at Jason Fitz. You can also call 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. Who do you think is going to sign, Antonio Brown? If anybody. And the answer can be, nobody. Remember, he's had several chances. Kurt says nobody's going to mess with Brown. He's a cancer in the locker room. William says it's hard to believe that he'll play in the NFL again after the attack on an owner. I think he means a GM there. AJ says, let's be honest, Baltimore is the only locker room he would fit in with. Being with actual family and having a family atmosphere that he hasn't been around before is exactly what he needs. I don't know that he's had atmosphere trouble, though. Let's acknowledge, you know, Mike Tomlin didn't get a lot of credit. Now he does for keeping that locker room together. Did I miss something? Like, John Gruden lets veteran players do pretty much whatever they want. So I want more your take. 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. In the meantime, let's get to some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And it comes in the form of what we've been doing. If you've been listening the last couple of weeks, every day, First Take picks a different team, and they look at the quarterback specifically and what it means for the team moving forward in a series we like to call QB Continued. This week, or today, I should say, they took a look at Ben Roethlisberger, obviously with all the Steelers talk, and Ben Roethlisberger and Pittsburgh. So the question is, does Big Ben need a third Super Bowl ring to be to justify being called an all-time great? Max Kellerman chimed in on that.
He does. Because a Hall of Famer, the way it works out, is not really always what we mean by an all-time great. In fact, Eli Manning is probably going to make the Hall of Fame. If you look at the quarterback class that Roethlisberger came out in, it was Eli, Rivers, and Roethlisberger drafted in that order. He's made six Pro Bowls and won two Super Bowls. Eli's made four Pro Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs, more than Roethlisberger. Rivers has made eight Pro Bowls, no Super Bowls. I think that everyone would agree Roethlisberger is number one on that list because though he didn't have the same kind of Iron Man career that Eli and Rivers did, Roethlisberger, like Eli was the kind of guy, usually not a Pro Bowler, but could come up big in the big moments. Rivers was more often than any of them a Pro Bowler, but you didn't trust him under pressure as it turned out to the extent you might the other guys missing that Super Bowl. Roethlisberger sort of splits the difference. You know, six times he was a Pro Bowler, and he was generally among the top five or certainly 10 quarterbacks in the league, and he's got the two Super Bowls. But it's not as though he is a Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees, where every year he's a top three quarterback. 6 years out of, what, 17 seasons you're in the Pro Bowl means usually you're not. I do think, however, that since he was often enough, since he was the kind of guy you'd want at quarterback under pressure, since he does have the Super Bowls, he will make the Hall of Fame. And were he to win another one, at that point you could say, all right, look, whatever else you want to say, there was something about that guy. he was able to lead his team to championships. Because remember, he's playing in a pass-happy league, in a pass-happy era, on a pass-happy offense. So when you play for a long time under those conditions, yes, you're going to be up there in passing yards, touchdowns, and those kind of things. By the way, as Eli Manning is, I think in order to really be considered on that next level, in that inner sanctum of quarterbacks, when we say all-time greats, when you're talking about who's the GOAT, at least that name comes up. What about that guy? You know, like Brett Favre won't get any votes nowadays as the GOAT, but his name will come up. What about Brett Favre? What about John Elway? It ain't going to be what about Ben Roethlisberger unless he wins another chip.
You're wrong. All-time greats are an entirely different category than the GOAT. The GOAT is a different discussion, but all-time greats, there's a plethora of individuals that have been in that conversation, and Ben Roethlisberger is one of them. Anytime you've been to three Super Bowls and you've won two Super Bowl titles, even though you didn't perform that well in one of them when you beat Seattle, the bottom line is you're going to warrant consideration. You've been in the league for 16 years, even though it's really 15 because he didn't play this past season because two games in, he was hurt, or a game and a half in, he was hurt. So in the 15 seasons that he's had prior to that, he made the playoffs 10 times. He's been to multiple conference championship games. He's been to multiple Super Bowls. He's won a couple of Super Bowls. You take that into consideration, and along with the fact that he has consistently been a top five quarterback in the National Football League, then you take into account his nickname, Big Ben. What does he do? Shrug off defenders. That's one of the things, that's one of the most memorable things that you're going to recall about Ben Roethlisberger when his career is over. So many guys would fall down at the sight of oncoming rushes. Ben Roethlisberger made a career of shrugging dudes off and using his feet, even though he ain't the fastest dude in the world, of course, shrugging dudes off and extending plays. The kind of stuff that he did, what he put his body through, his level of toughness at the quarterback position has to be recalled. And I think when you take that all into consideration, along with the fact that there are two Super Bowl rings and three Super Bowl appearances and a consistent presence for the most part in the postseason, all of those things puts him there in the conversation among the all-time greats. Not the GOAT, because he's never been that, but an all-time great,
top 10,
unquestionable.
This is going to be so much about how you perceive it and what all-time great means. If you're going to say that means being in the conversation for the greatest player or greatest quarterback of all time, I don't think Ben Roethlisberger fits there. If you're going to be one of those people that falls into place, that if you're a Hall of Famer, if you're a guy that was able to bring championships to an organization and have sustained great play, I believe that's who Ben Roethlisberger is, and I believe that makes him one of the all-time great players that have played in this league. When you think about the toughness, when you think about the durability, not necessarily in the sense of not being hurt, but being able to play through injury, we've seen Ben Roethlisberger do that for over a decade and a half. And when you look at a draft that has Phillip Rivers, a draft that has Eli Manning, and then you see Ben Roethlisberger taken later at 11, and to me, having the greater career of the three players, I believe that says something. He was never the greatest quarterback in the season. He probably was never the greatest quarterback of his era or generation. But what he's done for a storied and historic organization, bringing them two more Super Bowls in the fashion that he did it, I believe that's huge. I believe that makes him an all-time great. Now, if Ben Roethlisberger goes to another Super Bowl and he wins it as the man, he wins it as a top six, top seven quarterback in his league, and it is because of him that his team has or hoist another Lombardi trophy, I believe that puts him into those conversations. I believe now we start to see him differently, because what's gotten Drew Brees into those conversations is sustained greatness, having greatness late in his career, his team having success late in his career. And Ben Roethlisberger has an opportunity to do that.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. That was some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. But allow me just an indulgent moment here. I mean, the question that we asked is, does Big Ben need a third ring to establish himself as an all-time great? Did I miss something? Because yesterday with Aaron Rodgers, it was Aaron Rodgers needed a second ring, according to Max and Stephen A., to accomplish the level of being an all-time great. He still had to win a second Super Bowl. So now that we've got Big Ben, two isn't enough. He needs three. Like, is this a moving target on what it takes to be great? It drives me a little crazy. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. But what we like to do every day with QB Continued is take the conversation from First Take and move it a little bit further forward with an expert. So we're joined now by ESPN Steelers reporter Brooke Pryor joining us on the show. Brooke, thank you so much. I hope all is well and that you are safe through everything. We appreciate your time. Does Big Ben, in your mind, need to accomplish anything else to cement his legacy?
You know, I don't think so. I think he's pretty much an all-time great at this point in his career. I mean, he is saying that with the elbow being surgically repaired, he's ready. He's throwing for the first time without pain in years. And it sounds like, you know, they're really ramping up the PR machine to build up for a big comeback whenever he's able to get back on the field. But to me, he already has two Super Bowl rings. He played in another. And he's been a starter since his rookie year. He, you know, has all of these franchise records. To me, I don't know what else he has to do. I mean, obviously winning another Super Bowl would be great, but I think to me his resume is pretty solid among all quarterbacks, especially when you consider how long he's played. I mean, he's had sustained success. It's been, you know, recent that the Steelers haven't made the playoffs, but to me he's very consistent and he's really helped this franchise be a stable player in the postseason for the majority of his career.
We're talking to ESPN Steelers reporter Brooke Pryor. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. So last year was really defined by the ability of Mike Tomlin and the Steelers to maximize using quarterbacks nobody had ever heard of. What are they doing this season to sort of prevent that from happening again?
Well, I mean, Ben did have that elbow surgery, so that's huge in hoping that that doesn't happen again. But I think the biggest move that they made was hiring a dedicated quarterbacks coach with Matt Canada, a guy they were familiar with. He spent a year at Pitt, so just, you know, right across the training complex from the Steelers. You know, he was one of the hot names in college football for a while, and things went south a little bit after LSU and Maryland. But I think that they recognized, hey, you know, Ben Roethlisberger can't play forever. You know, even if he does have a new and improved elbow, he's 38 years old. At some point, we're going to have to turn the reins over to another quarterback. Now, whether that's a guy they develop in their own system or they bring in from the outside, they just want to make sure that they do have someone ready and waiting. And last year, Randy Fichtner, the offensive coordinator, he was the quarterback's coach. When he moved to the OC role, they never hired a dedicated quarterback's coach, so he was kind of tasked with both jobs. When your quarterback's Ben Roethlisberger, that's no problem, but when you're trying to develop Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges, it becomes a little bit harder to balance offense plus your responsibilities with these two young quarterbacks. So I think that it hurts them that Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges aren't able to work with Matt Canada right now. But whenever you talk with him and to, you know, kind of sort some things out, I think that's going to go a long way in kind of stabilizing the position behind Ben.
We're talking to ESPN Steelers reporter Brooke Pryor. So Brooke, one of the names, though, that seems to be bouncing everywhere and talking heads want to assign to the Steelers is Jameis Winston. Do you have any sense on if the Steelers are looking to bring somebody like Jameis or any other big-name quarterback in for a safeguard?
You know, I don't think so. That's not their style as an organization. This is an organization that likes to draft and develop their own guys. They did clear out some cap space, but I don't think that they were clearing that out with the intention of bringing in Jameis Winston. To me, this is a team that would rather draft a quarterback in the third round or in the second round with their first pick than go out and sign a big-name free agent. That's just not how they work. And I don't think that at this point they feel the need to bring in a veteran quarterback. That's something that the front office has said throughout the offseason, that bringing in, you know, a guy on a short-term deal, a veteran-known guy, was not a part of the equation. And I think that they're going to hold steady to that.
Brooke, they don't have a first-round draft pick. We all know that. What do you expect them to do in the draft?
You know, I think that the moves that they made in free agency, there weren't a lot, but the things that they did address the most glaring holes, the tight end, the offensive line, the defensive line. I think that with their second-round pick, their first pick, number 49 overall, that they can really take the best available playmaker at this point. And whether that's, you know, an outside linebacker to kind of start developing behind Bud Dupree, a wide receiver, I think, is still a position of need. Even offensive line, I think they can still shore up some of that, losing a guy like B.J. Finney and Ramon Foster. So I think that it will still end up skewing more on the offense because that was obviously the weakest part of the team last year. But I think they do have more breathing room after signing Eric Ebron.
You guys can follow her on Twitter at B.E. Pryor. Brooke, thank you so much for your time, for your insight, for your expertise. We appreciate you joining us, and stay safe.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
You know, Brooke really breaks it down well there. And remember that part of the reason that they don't have a first-round draft pick is because they traded that, or the reason, not part of, they traded that to acquire Minka Fitzpatrick. We'll let you hear from Minka in a minute. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting small business with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. We'll let you hear from him in a moment, but I want to get some of your take, because part of the reason that they may be in the wide receiver market going into the draft is they no longer have somebody like, I don't know, Antonio Brown. So we've been asking you, who, if anyone, will sign Antonio Brown going into this season? Jake in South Carolina, what's your take on AB?
Hey, Fitz. Thanks for taking my call. I hope you're staying safe and well. I'm going to throw this out there and let me explain, but I think the Atlanta Falcons, I say that because if you look at AB's career, he's never been paired up with another dominant top, you know, one or two wide receiver, and you could imagine him going to Atlanta with Julio Jones paired up with Calvin Ridley. I mean, that'd be a deadly wide receiving core right there. But to be able to take some of that pressure off of him, having Julio there, he wouldn't have to be the number one guy. And I think he could just kind of fall in there and just focus on playing football, and he could be successful. You got a veteran quarterback like Matt Ryan and Arthur Blank. He's the owner of that organization. Very, very good, stable organization. I think it would be a great fit for him.
I mean, my God, you want to talk about offensive weapons, and then if Gurley does have anything left in his tank, boy, thanks for your take on it. I love it. Caden in Oregon, what's your take on AB?
Yeah, I got Antonio Brown going to the Seattle Seahawks. I think with Pete Carroll and John Schneider and the job that they've done with some of their players that have had not so good of an attitude will be a good influence to him. And then being around Russell Wilson and their core receivers there with Dorsett and Lockett and all those guys, I think that would be good for Antonio if he gets in Seattle.
Yeah, no, I love that. I mean, the Seahawks would be a great fit for him if they're willing to bring him in to the organization. We'll keep taking your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In the meantime, part of the reason, or again, the reason that the Steelers don't have a first-round pick this year is because they traded it to get Minka Fitzpatrick, who obviously was worth every single ounce of that, made a huge difference to the team. He joined First Take today to talk about Big Ben and Mike Tomlin.
What do you say to the haters who say Big Ben's best days are behind him?
I think, one, if you know Ben, you'll know that he's going to come back. He's going to be doing his best to you know, come back better than he was before. You know, he is older, and it might take some time for him to heal up. But, you know, I have all the faith in the world that he's going to come back. He's going to come back stronger, going to come back faster, going to come back leaner, come back meaner. And he's a competitor, you know what I'm saying? And he lost a year of doing what he loves, so he's definitely going to come back with a chip on his shoulder and ready to just go out there and make plays. And I'm excited about it because, you know, just going up against him in practice and, you know, seeing him on the field, I'm going to become better from it, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Minka, what you brought to the Steelers was obvious last year. You played for a coach, no excuses, no quarterback, no backup quarterback, whatever. The man is incapable, apparently, of having a losing season. Can you tell us a little bit about why that is? What is it like playing for Mike Tomlin? How is he able to make lemonade out of lemons and always compete?
Yeah. I love playing for Coach T. One, because exactly what you said, he makes lemonade out of lemons. Any bad situation, he knows how to kind of turn it on his head and make it better than what anybody else could. You know, he's transparent with his players. He's honest with his players. And he challenges us no matter what. You know what I'm saying? Like when we were, I think we started off, 0-3, 0-4 in the beginning of the season, he was saying to us, like, you know, it's with four games in the season. Like, we still have so much room to grow, so much stuff to learn. Like, we just got a whole bunch of new players in that, you know, I barely even knew the playbook, and I was out there making plays. And he was just kept being honest with us, kept telling us to keep working, kept telling us to keep doing what we're doing to get better. Because it wasn't like we were, you know, getting blown out of the water. I think we lost one game, like, to the Patriots before I got there. That was the only game where we just got, you know, beat bad. But all the other ones we lost by a point or two. Like, we lost to San Fran, we lost to the Seahawks, and they were close games. But he's just kept faith in us. He never bad-talked us. He never told us we weren't good. He never told us we weren't capable. All he told us was where we needed to get better. He told us how we could get better, and he challenged us to get better. You know what I'm saying? And that's the type of coach that you want to play for, especially when you start down like that. You don't want to play for somebody that's, you know, bad-talking you and telling you you're not this, you're not that. You want to play for that guy that is going to challenge you to get better, be honest with you while you're going through that time and during the good times, and you know, just make sure you're doing everything that you're doing.
So first, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. Again, I'm going to keep taking your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll keep taking your take on where, if anywhere, Antonio Brown's going to be this season, and the answer could be nowhere. Plus, you can tweet me at Jason Fitz. But coming up next, is Amari Cooper overpaid? There are people in the NFL that think so. We'll hear what First Take had to say about it, and you know I have a take on that. You'll hear all of that next. Take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun. Who, if anyone's going to sign AB this season? Look, Antonio Brown, we've seen the pictures. He's working out with Lamar Jackson. He's working out with Hollywood Brown, his cousin. You know, we see the pictures. Suddenly it means that he's going to sign with the Ravens. That's where everybody goes with it. So we're asking you, if anyone, maybe you don't think anyone at all. And I love it when callers disagree. We had somebody call earlier that made a compelling point for why he thought the Falcons were the right fit. Carl in Florida, you are ready to battle that. What's your take on AB?
Hey, Jason, my take on the last caller was that he would go to a storied franchise like the Falcons. First of all, there's no other storied franchise in the United States like the Pittsburgh Steelers, where he was toxic in that locker room. And Coach Tomlin couldn't keep him from throwing his antics every day. So to think that he could go to the Falcons and not be toxic in another locker room and then have to share passes with Julio Jones, he got jealous when they were going to Smith-Schuster. So why wouldn't he get jealous with Julio Jones?
Well, and that's a really good point. I think that's where the mental stability is going to become such a part of it, and why I think a caller earlier that said make him sit out a full year just to figure out where he is, that makes a lot of sense to me. I've had some tweets about this, so we're going to let Joe in North Carolina get right in, because, Joe, this is a popular take. Where do you think Antonio Brown will be this season? Joe,
I think the XFL.
So you think he's going to stoop all the way to playing for the XFL?
I think that he's going to look at it as a way to rebrand himself, to show that he's able to work with players that, you know, I hate to say it, but are lesser than. But I think that if he does that, he makes a comeback, and then I think the Ravens.
Okay, now there is some sense to it. Look, and I say stoop all the way to the XFL. Y'all know I'm a big XFL fan. I'm all in on it. I got my Guardians gear. I need them to come back for year two, and coming back for year two with somebody like AB would actually be a huge win for the league, and maybe AB's one of the rare people that could benefit from them as well. So you can keep it coming. Where do you think Antonio Brown's going to go? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Speaking of wide receivers, we all know that Amari Cooper got paid, and we thought that he would. He got paid, as I like to say, by the Cowboys. They gave him all kinds of money. The question is he a top receiver in the NFL? That was the debate that Booger McFarland, Max, and Stephen A. had today on First Take.
First of all, there's no way in hell that Amari Cooper's guaranteed dollar should be more than a Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, people like that. I think right now he's second to Julio Jones, if I remember correctly. But I think there's something that needs to be said about being somebody, again, that's trustworthy. Amari Cooper can play. Amari Cooper can catch the ball. Amari Cooper's a number one receiver. Amari Cooper runs routes. And, you know, he shows up for the most part. Now, there was a couple of games, or at least one game, where he wasn't in the game in the last play for some reason. Jason Garrett and Kellen Moore didn't have him on the field. There was another game where he was a bit hurt and couldn't get out or took himself out. That wasn't great. But in the end, when you consider his upside, combined with the level of discipline that he exercises, the fact that he's a professional, he doesn't get himself involved in idiotic nonsense. He's not a distraction or cancerous in the locker room. Plus, he goes out there, he can ball. I definitely think that he should be one of those top five paid receivers. He doesn't deserve to be number one or two. I can think of at least three guys that should be paid more than him. But I that's why I give a little bit of credence to what the executives, the unnamed executives, are saying. I just think it's going a bit too far to talk about him like he's some scrub that's lucky to be on the Dallas Cowboys and doesn't deserve any money. He deserves a lot of money. He's gifted. He's skilled. He's good. He just may not deserve as much as he got.
That was the executive's point. He said he doesn't tilt the field. He does beat his man, though, consistently. He just doesn't tilt the field. Look, if he was more consistent, if he could be at his best all the time, then he'd be Antonio Brown or someone like that. And he's not. And yet, he has much more value than Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown is just saying, hey, I'll play for anyone. No one wants him. Amari Cooper in your locker room, with the media, on the field, et cetera, is really good. You'd prefer to have him in the end, all things considered, than a lot of guys, but not as the top paid guy, Stephen A. And that's the point. You know, he does a lot of good things. He does them less often than the very top guys, but the Cowboys were in a tough spot. They traded a lot to get him. And then they were afraid they could lose him. So all that is for nothing. It's just a sunk cost, right? And he is a difference maker on the Cowboys. The Cowboys function much better, and Dak Prescott functions much better with Amari Cooper. Now, you could say, well, you may be able to swap Amari Cooper out for a bunch of lead receivers. And that may be true, but he is a lead receiver. He is a number one receiver on a lot of teams. And so because the Cowboys really need that, and gave up a lot to get it, and when you add all the other stuff that you touched on, Stephen A., to the equation, he was worth that to the Cowboys. And even then, you may say that they overpaid by a little bit.
You know, guys, what we're essentially talking about here is value. And you know, from a worth standpoint, you're worth what someone is willing to pay you. But from a value standpoint, he's very valuable to the Cowboys. But if you're looking at saying, is he overpaid? Absolutely, because when you talk about the top three receivers in football, in whatever order you want to put them in, Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, Amari Cooper is not on that level. He's not. But yet and still, when you look at the salary, when you look at the money, he's right up there. And I get it, timing and, you know, the Cowboys trading away the first round pick. But I think I understand what this unnamed exec is talking about. If we're just going to look at it in a vacuum and say, okay, looking at how much money he's making, can he dictate to a defense? Is he that much of a difference maker from our standpoint based on the amount of money he's making? I would agree with that unnamed exec because he's not. Now, I understand the Cowboys were forced because of what they gave up for him. But if we're just talking about the top three receivers in football, you tell me Amari Cooper is better than any of the guys that I just named. I don't think anybody's saying that.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. Amari Cooper has been a sore subject between Will Cain and I over the years. And obviously, he's a Cowboys fan. I'm a Raiders fan. We've never tried to hide that. Here's my beef with Amari Cooper. You can look back at different points throughout the course of his career, and in virtually every season he plays, at some point he disappears. Now, it's been injury-related at times, but I've also talked to people that were around him at different points in his career that will tell you that, for whatever reason, he just sort of disappeared emotionally from different locker rooms on teams that he's on. My fear for Amari Cooper is, how do you keep him engaged? And if you're talking about making somebody the highest paid or one of the two or three highest paid wide receivers in the NFL, then you need to be talking about a level of engagement that you don't have to force. That's what we haven't seen from Amari Cooper. There are just periods of time when he is no longer who we're used to seeing, and nobody's been able to figure that out. In fact, when I talked to former people that had been around him at different times in his career, even last year, about the Cowboys, they said, look, when you watch him on the field, he's starting to separate from everybody. He's starting to emotionally separate, and he feels like he's just not there. And once that happens, you don't know how to bring him back. Whatever's happened in the locker rooms of the past, whatever there is about Amari Cooper's personality, what we know is that multiple times in multiple seasons with multiple coaching staffs, they've had a hard time keeping him engaged, keeping him motivated, and keeping him productive for every single game of every single season. At times, he's incredible, and at times, he simply just isn't there. Is that what you want from a top wide receiver in the NFL? Have you ever said that about, for example, Michael Thomas? No. The answer is you haven't. For whatever reason, when Amari Cooper is engaged and unstoppable, he looks like he's the greatest guy that you'll find on any roster. And then the following week, He'll drop a couple of passes for no reason. He'll have a lesser number for no reason at all. Those are the moments that I feel like when you look at Amari Cooper, it justifies why he should not be paid at the level he's being paid at. In the meantime, speaking of wide receivers, your take, we're taking it on what should happen with AB. Allen, Pennsylvania, where should Antonio Brown play this season?
Hey, Jason, thanks for taking my call. I think Antonio Brown can play wherever he wants to play football because I believe he's going to be playing football on Madden's football on his living room couch, and he can play for any team he wants to play for.
That's great. Al, I love the take. You're right. It's probably going to be the only way that he plays anywhere. You're right. It may be, but we also know that somebody somewhere gives great. They give shots to guys that can play, and we know at the end of it all, he can play. Well, keep it coming. Your take on where AB could play, if anywhere, this season. 888-SAY-ESPN. You can also tweet me 888-729-3776 to get in. You can tweet me at Jason Fitz. In the meantime, coming up, Stephen A. Smith got into it with an NHL superstar about his football fandom. We'll hear what happened next on First Take, Your Take. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL insider and reporter, joined us earlier on the show to talk about AB and where he could end up.
I wondered out loud at one point if Pittsburgh would welcome him back because I know he's still tight with some teammates over there who have told me privately that they would play with him again. But the Ben Roethlisberger dynamic, I don't see that happening. Tom Brady, from what we had gathered, they had drew enough of a connection in their short time together that Brady was open to playing with him again, but Bruce Arians has shut the door on that. And so there's really not anybody left. Obviously, he's not going back to Derek Carr, who he played with shortly. So it would have to be a new venture. And look, Seattle is a place I would look at eventually, assuming he is cleared or suspended, because he has a relationship with Russell Wilson. They have thrown together in past off seasons. Seattle is known to take chances on players because, again, you have a strong figure in Pete Carroll. You have a strong quarterback in Russell Wilson. That's the formula.
Let's first take your take on ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. If you're looking for a realistic option for Antonio Brown, I would caution everybody to this. The one thing to understand about NFL contracts is if you're on a roster on the first day of the league year, your contract is guaranteed for that season. I don't see anybody adding Antonio Brown until after the league year has started, which means right before week one, essentially. And the reason for that is because that allows them to go week by week and not have to guarantee anything at that point. Remember, there are still lawsuits pending involving Antonio Brown and his bonus money. So any team that's going to approach him is going to approach him with a level of caution that will give them the opportunity to get out of an Antonio Brown deal at any point without having to pay him an extra cent. Unfortunately, the way the CBA is done, they can't do that without waiting till after the league year starts. So to me, the most realistic answer, if we think Antonio Brown is actually going to make it back into the NFL, is that after the league year has started, when we are getting ready for week one, somebody may look at that point in doing it in a way that only forces them to pay him for every single week that he's on the team in an incentive-laden contract that gives them an easy out whenever they should so choose. Remember, talented as he is, somebody's going to give him an opportunity. Whether we like it or not, that seems to be the way it works. The longer he has to wait for that opportunity, the better chance that everybody can find out if he's mentally stable enough to deserve the opportunity that's in front of him. More First Take, Your Take coming right now on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. If you missed my conversation with Jeremy Fowler, Brooke Pryor, or any of today's show, go check it out on demand at the First Take Your Take podcast, brought to you by the Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What is in your wallet? All right, we're asking you guys, where should AB sign this season? Where will he sign? Where could he sign, if anywhere? Sean in Washington, what's your AB take?
Well, I don't think that AB deserves to find a job in the NFL, but one landing spot that makes sense to me is the Indianapolis Colts. They traded their first round pick. They're going to miss out on their opportunity to get one of those top draft picks, and they could use a playmaker opposite T.Y. Hilton.
Look, that's actually a really good call. I don't have any argument with that. The Colts could use the playmaker. The question is, do they want to bring somebody like that into their organization? But is Jim Irsay really in a situation where he can throw stones in a glass house? So, you know, I don't mind that take at all on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Where is AB headed? You can keep him coming. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. In the meantime, Stephen A. Smith had it out with an NHL superstar. That's right. He fought an NHL superstar. Well, in today's world of you know, spacing and distance, he did it in the best way possible for him without actually being face-to-face with him. P.K. Subban joined Max and Stephen A., and yes, they got into some NHL. They talked a little bit of hockey and what it's like to be an athlete right now in this pandemic time. But most importantly, they argued about football.
First of all, obviously signing Alden, I just love to see, it's great to see someone turn their life around. And obviously with everything that he's been through, to see the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones give him an opportunity. And, you know, we need a solid linebacker. So I like what the Cowboys are doing. And as far as Dak goes, you know, I hear a lot of conversation about Amari Cooper and his ability to play at the position. I will tell you this, you know, with Dak Prescott being our quarterback, I think he has the ability to make all of our weapons look a whole lot better. And Amari Cooper is a great player, but he's only going to look that much better having Dak Prescott throwing the ball. And when Dak's not throwing him the ball, having Zeke, you know, pound it in there, best running back in the game. Stephen A., I know we're on the same page, baby. Let's go. God's team.
Yeah, nice face, Stephen A.
Oh, please. Oh, please. I'm wondering. Suddenly, I'm wondering why the hell you on this show. I'm wondering why you even show up, PK. I mean, is this why you showed up to sit up there? You didn't even show up to talk about some hockey. You understand? You showed up to talk about the Cowboys. I mean, how pathetic does it get? You're supposed to care about winning. You're supposed to look at the United States of America, the greatest country in the world, okay? And then America's team, that team, the Cowboys, I mean, you would contaminate yourself like that. Oh, by the way, why don't you just move to Dallas? What'd you move to California for? I mean, it's no state income taxes in Dallas. How come you ain't living there? How come you ain't living there, PK? I mean, come on,
by
man.
By the way,
you could do better than that.
Dallas, I just think Jerry Jones is one of the smartest minds in sports, and he'll find a way to put the Cowboys in the Super Bowl.
He's brilliant at business.
No question. Brilliant.
What's been taking so long?
What do you mean there's no question? It's been 25 years.
Come on,
what do you mean
Max?
There's no question?
Once they get Dak signed, I'm telling you, I think Dak Prescott's going to make.
Once they get
I know everybody's being. Everybody wants to see him. I want to see Dak get paid. I love seeing athletes get paid, but I think he deserves it. The numbers are there. I think that the chemistry. Nobody talks about the chemistry. He's got great chemistry with his options. I like it. I like the way the Cowboys are. They're one or two players, in my opinion, away from being in the Super Bowl. So that's my take.
First take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm a little surprised. I mean, PK, somebody that has a lot of Nashville history, always saw him wearing Titans stuff around town. I'm just saying, maybe a little fair weather action there, you know, playing to the crowd, PK, you know, because the Titans and the Preds certainly supported each other when he was here. So now we find out, you know, PK's all in on the Cowboys. Well, you know, I'm just saying. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Where's AB headed this season, if anywhere? Justin in South Carolina, what's your Antonio Brown take?
I think he's going to wind up with the Bengals.
Ooh, okay, why?
They have a history of signing players and keeping players around that have had troubles with the law or personal issues. And they seem to do really well there, and they need a contingency plan for when John Ross inevitably gets hurt and somebody opposite AJ.
And well, any concern about bringing Antonio Brown in with that personality to be with a rookie quarterback and Joe Burrow that we all think is going to go top?
I think it'll help him out. He'll have two all-pro wide receivers to throw to as his number one and number two. And, I mean, as far as I can tell, AB has always been stellar when it comes to being on the football field. And there won't be a lack of targets anywhere, seeing as how they just got rid of their best tight end in Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, Justin, and I appreciate your take on it. I mean, you're right. He's never been anything but amazing on the football field. We all know that. But we also know that part of the reason that everything imploded in Pittsburgh is because of things that were happening at practice involving Big Ben. So, you know, as cool as Joe Burrow is, cool a cat, see what I did there at the Bengals? As cool a cat as Burrow is, do we really want to put a situation where Burrow is having a deal with Antonio Brown in practice out of the gates? Woo! That is a lot to me. I mean, I love the idea of getting Burrow as many weapons as possible, but let's also remember it's a wide receiver rich draft, and the Bengals will have plenty of opportunity to add those pieces wherever they should choose if they want to continue to build young, and they will have AJ Green to still give them veteran leadership in the locker room. All right. You guys can keep tweeting me at Jason Fitz. We've had a lot of answers there. Ultimately, I'll say this again. I don't think Antonio Brown's going to be anywhere until at least the season has started. And then there are so many boxes the league will have to check off. It would be a surprise to me if he's even making an impact on a football field until at the earliest, very late in the coming NFL season, but we'll see what happens. What I know next is that the Will Cain Show is going to be debating who the best college basketball player is of all time, plus more. That's all coming up. Thanks for hanging out. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio.